Cantor yesterday that his preaching has... I always held a grudge against Brother Cantor, and after hearing him preach again this year, I'm never going to let go of that grudge. Amen. My wife and I came to school. He wasn't teaching at that time. He had been here before that time teaching. We came, he wasn't here, and then after we left, he came back. And I have been cheated, that is for sure. Amen. But brother, I tell you what, Brother Cantor, that was fine preaching. Amen. All these guys that preached, it's been wonderful. Praise the Lord. I got a bunch of stuff here tonight. Amen. So somebody, I was over at Brother Taylor's house on his computer trying to print out my notes for tonight. A preacher, I won't name names, but a preacher called and was asking about me preaching tonight, and Sister Taylor happened to tell the preacher how many notes I had, how many pages of notes I had. And they said, "Well, we ain't coming, amen. We can't stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning." Praise the Lord. What time is it? Oh, wow. Praise God. Got to hurry. Amen. Open your Bibles to Matthew. Amen. Please, chapter 28. I have great dread tonight preaching for several reasons. I don't usually tell my wife nothing about my preaching, but I warned her about 2 weeks ago. Amen. I got her word on the matter. I even checked with Brother Taylor, got his word on the matter. I've never done this before in my life. I was thinking, came to Bible school, and this is pitiful now. I don't want none of you students being as stupid as I am, but brother, I graduated here 4 and a half years I attended OBI. And I promise you, before the Lord, Brother Bram, I never remember taking homiletics class. Praise God, that's pitiful, isn't it? It shows, though, that's for sure. Amen. Sometimes I have a hard time even getting myself to write out an outline. Well, tonight, I've done something I ain't never done in my life. I wrote my sermon out word for word. Amen. The reason I did that, and I'm just telling you, I don't care. Amen. The reason I did that is because I have a tendency to say too much that doesn't matter. Amen. And take too long to do it. And I really feel like God not just gave me a thought or gave me something to say, but I really feel like that I have something that we need to hear and get a hold of tonight. So I don't want to make nobody mad. My wife is against the idea. Brother Taylor said it didn't matter. Well, amen. If I read this thing tonight, now, how many of you like to see a great revival, amen, the sinners in the hands of angry God sweep the nation and people get saved, amen? Amen. Jonathan Edwards read that thing word for word. Amen. So if he did it and you want a revival like that, if I happen to be looking down a lot tonight, I might just be reading some of this stuff. But I got too much to say to just wing it on my own. I don't trust my own self, amen, to say what I got to say without rambling. Amen. But it's good to be here tonight. Brother Taylor, all the distinguished brethren, been up here on the platform sitting amongst these fellers. Amen. Where's Brother... Brother Shelton, is he here? Even Brother Shelton is a much bigger man than I am. Amen. And I mean that. Praise God. He's a little short guy, you know, that's what I mean. But somebody made mention that last night. But I'm telling you, I feel little, amen, amongst these folks here. Praise God. Look back throughout here, a bunch of these preachers that are here tonight, a bunch of you folks, I've known some of you for years. Some of you have just met. I see students that I attended school with. And after hearing, I caught 15 minutes, got in out of the airport 15 minutes before Brother Bram stopped preaching on Monday night. Then I heard Brother Norris here, went to school with those fellers. Amen. And hearing them guys preach, I tell you, although I feel very inadequate to be here tonight, I recognize that I was privileged to attend school with some of the finest preachers, amen, and some of the finest people that there are, amen. And I'm glad to be here. Brother and Sister Taylor, we've known them for a long time, and it's Brother Taylor his investment in us and my family that brought me here tonight. And I'm not saying that I'm here because he invited me. I'm saying that if he hadn't invested the love, the friendship, the encouragement, the training in my family and myself over the years, there wouldn't be no reason to invite me here tonight. Amen. And we love Brother and Sister Taylor with all of our hearts. Amen. It's always good to be here at Neosho with all just the home folks. Amen. I love this place. Praise God. I love you folks. We appreciate everything. Amen. We appreciate all that you, as local church, Neosho, and all the rest of you friends, people that have known us over the years, that you've done, amen, all that you've done to make our struggle in Venezuela a whole lot easier than it would have been. We just appreciate everyone. I'm glad to see you here. Amen. Bring your greetings tonight from Caracas, Venezuela. Amen. It's been called over the years the New York City of Latin America. Because of its size, it's a very modern city in most respects, except Latin time, you know, some of those things. I'm not here tonight to talk about Caracas. I'm not here to talk about even the barrio where our church is located, the ghetto area. I'm not here to even talk about Venezuela or even Latin America as much as my heart is in all of those places. But I'm here tonight to talk to you about a question that I think is on everybody's mind. Everybody that loves the Lord, and those of you that are here, I'm sure it's on your heart. And that is a question that is often asked, are we really making any progress in reaching the world for Jesus Christ? Amen. Would you look with me, Matthew chapter 28. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you stand real quickly? 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Amen. That question, as I said, are we really making any progress in reaching the world or in evangelizing the world? If I say missions or missionaries tonight, I am not just speaking to those who have gone far away and have to tote their passport everywhere they go. I'm talking to everybody that's in the ministry and in the business of trying to win souls for Jesus Christ. Amen. So whether you're in Caracas, whether you're in Guatemala, whether you're in Honduras, whether you're wherever you are, amen, right here in downtown America, if your goal and your dream and your desire and your heartbeat is to win the lost for Jesus, then I'm talking to you tonight, amen. But this is missions night, this is missionary service, and so I'm going to put in lots of good plugs for missionaries, amen. I love missionaries. But there's, I guess, three attitudes we could take, different people take, on the question of, are we doing any good? Are we reaching the world, Brother Stoner, or not? Amen. And first of all, I suppose there's the very extremely optimistic view of the question. Amen. The extreme optimist, you know, he says with all the technological advances, with all the things that's going on in the world, with all the television ministries, with, you know, all of the different things that we've got, I mean, we are reaching the world now. We're sending people all over the world. We've, stop and you count up how many things have happened in the last decade or two. And it's easy to get an extremely optimistic view of whether we're doing any good or not in reaching the world. I mean, how many mega churches now could you name? Well, maybe you can't name any or overseas, but I tell you what, living in a foreign country, I mean, that is one of the big, big things. Amen. Even up in the barrios and the slums of Caracas around where our church is at, I mean, those people, they can name churches that, I mean, thousands upon thousands of members. And it's easy, you know, to have an extremely optimistic view and say that, well, all we got to do is sit down and just wait for the inevitable winning of the whole world for Jesus Christ. Amen.
And a lot of people are. They're sucked into that extremely optimistic view, I believe. Amen. There's another view, though, we could take, and that's the extremely pessimistic view. There's a lot of people that, you know, that whether it be, going back to an old-fashioned theology and saying, well, at the root of every one of us is that old Adamic nature, and it can never be changed. It's always there, you know, and you just can't do anything about it, so there's no need to try. Man will always be man, and nothing different can ever change him. Amen. They might go to philosophy, they might go to psychology and say that, well, you know, get the habits and cultural things instilled in you from birth, and those things stick with you. And, I mean, if you're a Latin, you're always a Latin. You're going to be late everywhere you go. Amen. And I'm afraid if you're American, you're going to be late everywhere you go. Some of us are late all the time, aren't we? Amen. And some people lean on those things and say that once you're whatever you are, that's it. There's no need to mess with it. You can't change them. And so we'll never win the world, so just leave it alone and just let's sit down and let's just wait for Jesus to come and rescue us out of here. Amen. And I guess if you listen close to what I had to say, you notice that there were two things in common with extremely optimistic and extremely pessimistic view. And that is they both agree on one thing, and that is that we just simply need to sit down and just let things go. Amen. Because optimistically, it's all going to happen anyway, or pessimistically, it doesn't really matter. You can't do nothing about it. Amen. But brother and sister, I believe tonight that there's a third option. I believe that there's a biblical option, and that is just the realistic approach or the realistic view of whether we're doing any good. Amen. You know, the realist, you know what a realist is, don't you? A realist is somebody that takes all the good side of the optimistic view, but he tries to blend it with all the bad things that the pessimist has to say, and he tries to come out with what really the truth of the matter really is. Amen. And so tonight, if the Lord would help me, I'll try to blend some of the optimistic view and blend it with some of the pessimistic, and I'll try to give you what I believe and what I feel is the realistic view. Amen. Matthew chapter 28, go. Amen. Period. That's all you have to say. Amen. I love these two verses. These two verses, I mean, you know, if you're going to preach. Brother Taylor, now he's giving us Mark's view of things. Amen. And he's telling me about that four-point sermon. I told him, well, okay, point number one, that'll fit between pages two and three of my notes. Amen. And I can slip in his little points between every one of my pages. Amen. But I won't because I don't have time. Amen. But brother and sister, tonight, amen, we need to be realist about the project, about the goal, about the business, if you'll let me say it that way and not misunderstand me, about winning this world for Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's look at the optimistic things. Amen. You know, you stop and think about it tonight. Amen. We could, you know, all the things that have happened in this world, there's, you know, the good side of things. Look at it. It was back in 1786, I believe, when William Carey, amen, if you've taken missions class, if you've ever read anything about missions, you ought to have heard about William Carey. Back in 1786, William Carey, amen, he come up with this brilliant notion, and he presented it in a minister's meeting, and he let them know that he felt like it was an obligation upon modern Christians to take the gospel to the unreached people of that day. Amen. He was met with a stinging rebuke from an elder minister that called him, looked at him and told him that he was a miserable enthusiast for bringing up such a notion as that. Amen. Well, I'm glad that William Carey persevered, and he suffered a lot, and he had to put up with a lot of things, but I'm glad that he was hard-headed and, amen, and soft-hearted enough to continue to press and to push and to pray on the idea until we today know the modern mission, amen, enterprise that's going on today. Largely, we can look to William Carey and say that it's because of that man's leadership in the modern world that we have what we have today. Amen. And you know, you stop and think about all of those things that those early men went through. Amen. I mean, it wasn't easy when they began. But we're trying to be optimistic now. And so let's see how far we've really come. The realist says we've come a long, long way. Amen. But blending in the pessimism, he says, but we've got a long, long way to go. Amen. And so we have come a long way since 1786. I mean, we've seen a lot of things happen. I mean, you think about it. How many missionaries back in those olden days, amen, how many of them perished in shipwrecks before they ever got to the place that God had called them to go to? Amen. How many of those guys and their families, amen, have been laid to rest underneath stones? Amen. I forget which missionary it was. Amen. And I believe it, maybe it was Plumeyer. Hey, man, his wife and his child died there in Tibet, and it was dead of winter and bitter cold in that place. He couldn't even dig a grave for him. All he could do was lay their bodies on top of the frozen tundra and pile stones on it to keep the wolves from eating his family's bodies until the springtime got there so he could bury them. Amen. Sickness and disease led places like Liberia and Africa to be called the white man's grave. Amen. Brother and sister, we have come a long, long way, thank God, since those early days. Amen. It's been a lot of things that have gone, a lot of water under the bridge. And thank God, I'm glad a lot of those things aren't quite as present. Amen. In the daily, in the hour that we're living in. Brother and sister, what was it like, amen, to spend months sometimes on a ship to get where you felt like you needed to be? Some of them never got off board the ship without it being sick unto death, amen, from disease. How many of those people David Livingston, amen. Men like David Livingston that had to spend years of their lives separated from their family members because it was too hard. The conditions were too harsh. His second wife, she couldn't survive, amen. She had to go home to England, and they were apart for I don't know how many years, amen. But you've never read love letters like they were written between David Livingston and his wife, amen. It wasn't because they didn't love each other. Brother, it's because we've come a long, long way, amen, since those days, thank the Lord. Brother and sister, the World War II era ended, amen. Our fathers and grandparents, amen, got out of World War II. Many of them became missionaries and went back to some of the Pacific Islands and to Japan and over to post-war Europe, amen, to preach the gospel. And they were better than the Marshall Plan. They were the real ones that are responsible for bringing some of those countries back from starvation and ruin, amen. Thank God we've come a long, long way. Brother, but did you know we today know of language groups, we know of peoples, we know of whole groups of people that even our fathers and grandfathers after the end of World War II had never even heard of. Amen. It's because we've come a long, long way since those days. Amen. But brother and sister, sometimes I think it was we have been like the Texas Rangers. Amen. You know who the Texas Rangers are? Amen. 1870s after the Civil War, a bunch of those tough boys went home to Texas, amen, and they didn't have nothing to do with their guns, and so the governor put them to business, amen, trying to straighten out. You know, in the 1870s, cow towns had popped up everywhere. Those were rough and wicked and vile places, amen. Some of those men, the governor banded them together. They didn't have the name Texas Rangers at that time, but as the years went by, they made an official body, of a policial body there in the state of Texas, amen. In the 1920s, when the oil towns began to boom overnight, pop up. Those were rough places, amen. And the Texas Rangers, though, they had a motto, and it was one riot, one ranger, amen. Somebody, they came up to the colonel, the one that led the Texas Rangers, and told him, said, "Sir, I just don't think that's fair. That just doesn't seem right. You know, you get a whole town of those drunken crazies going mad and shooting and hollering and screaming and killing, and you send one poor man there to try to settle things down." And the colonel just looked at her. He said, "Ma'am," he said, "it's hard to stop a man when he knows he's right and he just keeps on coming." Amen. You kill one Texas Ranger, they sent one more Texas Ranger. Amen. You kill that one, they sent another one. And sometimes it seems like, amen, missionaries have been just like those Texas Rangers. It seemed like sometimes one man, one woman, one family, amen, was left in the wilds to tame a whole nation for Jesus. Amen. And you think that doesn't seem fair. But brother, you know what happened? Amen. Amen. Thank God we've come a long way from those days. Amen. I remember if my mama, if she doesn't like it, then both her son and her daughter are both missionaries far from home. She hasn't got anybody to blame but herself. Amen. I remember when I was a kid, praise God, Brother David Tucker. Amen. My mama, from a little boy, she told me, amen, about J.W. Tucker. Amen. Missionary to Africa, the Congo, Republic of Congo. Amen. They killed that man for his faith. Brother Tucker, they was explaining to me all the details. Amen. They ripped his belly open and filled him with corn, threw him to the hogs and let the hogs eat. Brother J.W. Tucker, when the hogs got through, they dumped his body in the river, amen, for the crocodiles to finish him off. Brother, my mama told me about J.W. Tucker. She let me look at that little book of Victor Plumeyer, A High Adventure in Tibet. I saw those crazy and strange pictures. I remember this day, a little man in a devil mask came in dancing out across there in Tibet. Brother Victor Plumeyer, J.W. Tucker, and many others, by my mother's own hand had an opportunity of shaping my life. Thank God we've come a long, long ways. Amen. We might have seen some bloody days go by. And you think about 1901, 1902. You think about how many missionaries were killed in, missionaries and Christians were killed in China. Amen. The Boxer Rebellion, all of those things that went on in India, those that suffered death, amen, in agony. But you know what, brother and sister? It had a purpose, amen. And it cost thousands of men and women to stand up and say, bless God. If they gave their lives, then I'll arise and I'll go in their place and I'll fill in where they, amen, have fallen in their tracks, amen. Brother and sister, thank God we have come a long, 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 long way, amen, from where, amen, missions began. Thank the Lord. Brother and sister, amen. You know, some of you maybe, you know, I mentioned a while ago, I mentioned television. Amen. A lot of people, you know, they talk about television, and people have used television to preach their brand of the gospel, I suppose, and, you know, and all over the earth. Amen. And maybe it's had some good, maybe it has, but it has had a lot of bad effects. But in maybe some, amen, maybe a lot of good, no, maybe. I'm sure there has been a lot of people saved, amen, by that. Maybe some of yourselves have used radio to expand your reach outside of the four walls of your little church house, amen, to reach out in your neighborhood and reach over the next county or whatever, amen. I mean, down there in the Caribbean Islands, you know, down in Quito, Ecuador, HCJB, I can't remember what's Transmundial, Radio what is it? I don't know. But anyway, World, what is it? Transmundial. What is, how do you say it? Somebody help. I can't think of it. What is that? Anyway, Transworld Radio. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Transworld Radio. I mean, I remember sitting down there in Caracas, amen, when I couldn't hardly speak a word of Spanish. Tuning in there just to hear 2 hours in the morning of English, amen, preaching and stuff, amen. Brother, I didn't like what most of them saying, but I was glad to hear something in English, amen. Brother, I mean, maybe some of you have done those things, and thank God we've come a long way, haven't we? Amen, since the beginning and where we've started, thank the Lord. We've come a long way economically. Now, I know I'm liable to lose some of you right here, but I want you to know the poor, miserable little me, amen, attitude that a lot of us holiness folks have carried around over the years is no longer justified. Amen. I mean, you know, I'm glad to say, praise God, Brother Cleveland, I saw him back here somewhere. Amen. I'm glad to say a bunch of them churches, amen, old clap, peeled paint in the clapboard siding churches down here in the deep south. I'm glad to say that's been covered up, amen, or bulldozed over, and some of the most beautiful, amen, brick, colonial-style churches you ever saw down there. I'm glad, amen. Holiness paper mill workers, amen, they make as good much money as any wicked old white-collar businessman you ever saw. Brother and sister, we've come a long way economically since then. Amen. I mean, I found out something the other day. I mean, it made me blow up. Amen. I rebelled. Amen. Brother Chris come down there and helped us a couple of months of summer. Amen. Different ones have come, and I've been getting it, you know, piece at a time. There's hardly any students even work at Tyson Chicken Plant anymore. I thought, why, you wicked things. Amen. I paid my dues there. Everybody else ought to have to pay their dues there. Why, brother? It's because we've come a long way economically, haven't we? Amen. I mean, there's more money pouring into missionary enterprise now, I suppose, than there's ever been. Amen. Brother, that's good news. Amen. I ain't trying to trick nobody. I ain't taking no offering in a minute. I'm telling you, we've come a long way. Thank God. Amen. And from where we used to be. Thank the Lord. Amen. Well, amen. We've come a long way from there, and I've gone, I don't know how long I've gone, maybe 15 minutes or so, maybe longer, I don't know, but amen, brother, I wish I could stop right there, amen, but I got to be a realist and not just an optimist, amen, and I have to tell you tonight that we've still got a long, long way to go, amen, praise God. Sister Jennifer, saw you just now, I forgot. Amen, Sister Jennifer, we got a phone call, amen, from Caracas today, praise God, your visa came through, amen. She's had churches all over the whole country praying that God to give her a visa. Well, He did it tonight, amen, praise the Lord, amen. That was my present, amen, for preaching tonight, thank the Lord, amen. Well, anyway, murder, missionaries, I guess, 1956, I don't know when it was, Brother Tucker died, 1956, that was when Elliot and Yoder, Roger Yoderman or Yoder, something like that. Some of them guys, Nate Saint, flying their little plane, landing on the rivers down there in Quito, Ecuador, out in the jungles. Amen. 1956, those boys, all five of them, were murdered. Amen. you know what happened? I mean, we boo-hoo and cry for a little while. Amen. And it kind of shakes us a little bit when we hear something like that. But you know what? Amen. The church, if they really love Jesus, they get up and they say, well, praise God. We just need 500 more to go in their place. Amen. So thank the Lord. We've come a long way, Brother Terry Miles. Amen. I'm glad. Thank God. But although most of the murders of missionaries around the world have stopped, may I tell you that it hasn't stopped everywhere. And maybe they're not carrying American passports around, so we don't read about it in our American newspapers. But I want you to know that we've got a long, long way to go. Amen. You know, those Muslim countries, and oh, Jesus, help me. I don't want to get in trouble here. Amen, sister. Amen. Sister Biggerstaff, she loves that over in Nigeria. Amen. She can have that curry. I don't like it. Amen. Amen. But I want you to know, Muslim countries, amen, they're still killing folks. Amen. Some of my stuff here. Amen. What is this? October the 4th. Amen. Yeah, USA Today printed this out. Amen. October the 4th. We're talking about this month now, brother and sister. Amen. In the past year, almost 40 Christians now have been killed. We're just talking one country, Pakistan. Amen. After September 11th and then the U.S. response to that, Christians have been under pressure, amen, in some of those Muslim countries like they've never been in before. Last October, a year ago, gunmen shot their way in a Christian church in eastern town of, can't pronounce that town, and killed 16. Five people, including two Americans, were killed when militants detonated grenades inside a church in Islamabad's diplomatic enclave, March 17th. Six Pakistanis were shot to death, Christians, when these guys, gunmen, broke into their Christian school 40 miles north of Islamabad. Slaughter could have been worse. The gunmen couldn't break down the doors to get at dozens of students and teachers cowering inside the school. Last week, so I guess that was the first week of September, extremists entered the offices of a Christian charity in the southern port city of Karachi, gagged and bound workers to chairs, and shot them in the head. Eight people died. Amen. Christians only make up about 2.5% of Pakistan's 145 million people. Amen. 97% Muslim, that country. Amen. Christians have to fear for their lives there. Just on and on. 80-year-old Christian hospital known for treating eye diseases sees 500 to 600 patients a day. 90% of them Muslims. Many of the patients are too poor to pay their medical bills. The hospital's small security force was unarmed until August the 9th. Amen. Men broke in, overpowered the guards, and threw in some grenades and killed, I don't remember how many, eight. I believe it was eight. Amen. So four of her colleagues die. Amen. Brother and sister, what am I telling you? I'm telling you tonight that we've got a long, long way to go. Amen. Brother, I'm not here tonight to attack anybody. I'm just here tonight to present to you the realistic view of things as they really are, as far as I feel. Amen. Brother, I'm telling you tonight, amen, that the Muslim countries are some, there are no countries on the face of the earth, amen, as opposed to the Christian message as many of the Muslim countries. Amen. Brother and sister, we're talking about people that from infancy have been trained to absolutely despise the name of Jesus Christ or anything to do with the Jewish religion. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I'm not attacking the Muslims. I'm just telling you that we've got some doors that are swiftly swinging to a close, and if we don't stick our feet in those doors before they close, we will lose, amen, an eternal opportunity to reach people for Jesus Christ. Amen. The realistic view is, amen, we've got a long, long way to go. And what do we need to get there? We need missionaries. We need men. We need women. We need young people that will arise and say, before that door of opportunity closes, I'm going to get in there while there's still time to do something. Amen. Maybe after September 11th, a year ago, maybe things, amen, are more difficult. Well, brother and sister, that just ought to be shame to us that we didn't jump in there before September the 11th. Amen. Brother, the things in this world are changing. Amen. War, as I said, you know, maybe they're not killing foreign missionaries so much anymore. But I want you to know, amen, that Christians are suffering around this globe. And if we don't do something while we can, we may never have another chance to reach many of those people. Amen. American diplomats and American State Department for too many years have thought foolishly that they could sweep the Fidel Castros and the Saddam Husseins and the Muammar Gaddafis, underneath the rug or over in some little corner and just isolate them and just go merrily on our way. They're making the same mistake with Hugo Chavez down in Venezuela. But you know what's happened instead? The devil has taken hold of such opportunities, and now those men, many of those leaders, are bound together and have been giving a voice and a platform now to speak to the world. Many of those countries that never had the nerve to say anything against America because they got too much foreign aid from us, they today now are emboldening themselves to rise up. I mean, I'm not talking politics, I'm talking missionary activities. And they have decided that we don't want any American influence. And what is the first thing? Missionaries are always on the razor edge. Amen. The first thing that's closed out are foreign or American missionaries. Amen. That's why New Tribes Missions have been in the fight of their life in recent years. And it's not dodging the arrows and the stone axes of the Yanomami Indians in the jungles of Venezuela. No, it's the government, amen. And it's the anthropologists that are saying, you know, cultural genocide, you're destroying them, you're ruining them, you're changing them. Oh, we're going to forever lose, you know, their old way of life, you know. In Caracas, nobody thinks anything about it. You know, on the streets they sell postcards of naked Yanomami Indians, you know. I don't mean to be rude, please, but, you know, nursing a baby from one side and nursing a puppy from the other side. Oh, ha-ha, and they just laugh, and, you know, that's tourism, you know, sell those postcards. But, brother, you let one Yanomami Indian get saved and put on clothes and stop raping and murdering and plundering and killing and fighting with his neighbors. Whatever your dog is, amen, just remember, amen, you feed him. You need to be sending in an offering to missionaries, amen. We might have, there might be more money available for the missionary enterprise than there ever has been, but thank God there's more missionaries than there have ever been in the course of human history, amen. And brother and sister, I want you to know they're going to places that they ain't never been to before. And they're reaching peoples that ain't never been reached before. Amen. Brother and sister, I'm telling you what, we got a long, long way to go. Amen. Brother Jarvis, your daughter and your son-in-law. Amen. My heart, I thought about you. May the 12th, amen, in the year 2000. Amen. I clipped this out of the Daily Journal there in Caracas. May 12th, 2000, faith is born as India's billionth person. Amen. I mean, you know, May the 12th, 2000, 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago now, brother and sister, that little baby girl was born there in a hospital. Amen. What was her name here? Ashtha. It means faith. Amen. In their I guess in Hindi. Amen. The billionth person was born. Amen. In the country. That's just one country of India. My, you stop and think about that. And I thought a billion people, billion people, billion people. You guys ought to go home and start praying for a billion people. But don't do it yet. You know why? Because since that time, there's been 29,991,000 more that have been born in the nation of India just since that little girl in faith was born. Amen. Brother and sister, we are in a desperate hour. Amen. We've got a long, long way to go. Amen. This brother here, brother from Sri Lanka, amen, I'm glad to see him. Amen. He could probably tell you thousands of things, amen, I couldn't even dream of tonight. Amen. Of what it's like over there and what some of the events and the occurrences that are happening there. Brother and sister, we've got a long, long way to go, and we better do something. Amen. I got to hurry here tonight. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord here. Amen. Let me go back here. I don't know if I'll need this thing or not. But anyway, I got my notes just in case. Praise God. Amen. South America. Start there. I love it. Amen. Brother and sister, right here. South America. Amen. From right up here in Venezuela down to Tierra del Fuego in Argentina. Amen, brother. You stop and you think there's 347 million people in this continent. Amen. North America, if I'm not mistaken, North America, which includes Mexico, U.S., and Canada. Amen. North America has 440-something million people there. Amen. Move across here to where Sister Biggerstaff is manning the gunboat by herself. Amen. Her and the Ennises and a bunch of others. But, amen, it probably feels like you're Texas Rangers by yourself, don't it? Amen. Brother, 800-something million people in the continent of Africa. Amen. Where else we got? Europe up there, almost just, amen, just, I mean, we're talking just thousands short of 750 million people. Amen. Brother, that is a drop in the bucket. Amen. Let's step right over here to the continent of Asia. Brother and sister, can I tell you tonight that in the continent of Asia, there are 3 billion, almost 700 million people just in that one single continent. Amen. Sunday night, amen. I know people telling us to slow down. They're telling, you know, pray it through. You don't want to jump the gun. You don't want to get started in something, you know, and it fizz out. Brother, when they tell you that, I'm not saying you do need to jump the gun, and I'm not saying you do want to jump in something if it ain't the Lord's will, but just when they tell you that, just let this run through your head. Sunday night, before I left Caracas, Sunday night, 11:21, amen, o'clock, p.m., amen, at GMT Standard Time, Greenwich Mean Time, there were 6,249,652,314 souls on the face of this earth. And the vast majority, amen, are as lost can be. Amen. 118 million souls lost, amen, in Islam. Over 1,118 million souls. Amen. Just right at, just a little bit over 1 billion souls consider themselves to be Catholics. Amen. Protestants, why? I mean, we're talking Protestants, and that runs the gamut, brother and sister. Protestants, amen. Christians that don't consider themselves to be Catholics or Orthodox, there's only like 342 million, and that's those that claim to be Protestants. Amen. Brother and sister, I'm trying to tell you, I know I'm going on and on, but I'm trying to tell you we've got a long, long way to go. Amen. And if we don't do something while we've got a chance, we will never have a chance again. Amen. Amen. Just looking here, some more stuff. Amen. I hope you don't mind me reading all this, these numbers and stuff. Amen. Give you a chance. Brother Chris and all him birds come down there, they think I'm an old man. Hey, man, I am. I feel like it. Praise God. But I still think I'm kind of young. Hey, man, Brother Stoner. Hey, man, I ain't hit 40 yet. Praise God. I hope I last that long, but I ain't made it yet. Thank the Lord. I'm glad. Glad I don't live in Zimbabwe. Glad I don't live in Zambia. I'm not saying I don't want to go there and preach the gospel. Swaziland. I don't know how to pronounce that. Mozambique. Oof. That's really bad. Mozambique. Malawi, all them places I named except Mozambique, I'd be a dead man. Mozambique, man, I'm nearly a year overdue. Talking about life expectancy rates, 36, 37, the highest one, 38 years old is the life expectancy rate in those countries. Amen. Brother, I got a page and a little bit, amen, as my Chinese friend says down there in Venezuela, I got a page and a little bit, list of countries, amen, and none of them cross 50 years old life expectancy rate. Brother, 105 people die every single minute. Amen. Do you know what that means, brother? We're talking about 6,000, almost 6,500 people every hour dead, and the biggest majority of them going straight to hell without Jesus. Amen. Friends, I'm sorry. I don't like to be a pessimist, but I'm trying to be realistic. We've got a long, long way to go. Amen. Amen. Wow. Sister Bickerstaff, this is pitiful. Afghanistan, 99% Muslim. Albania, 70. Algeria, 99. Azerbaijan, 93 and a little bit. Bahrain, 100%. They're proud of that. Amen. Bangladesh, 83%. Brunei, 67. Oh, that's hardly nothing. Egypt, 94. Can't pronounce the other place. 94%. 98.7% the Gaza Strip. Muslims. Amen. 99% in Iran. I mean, I got two pages in here of these. Amen. Brothers and sisters. Oh, Saudi Arabia. They're proud of this. 100% Muslims. Amen. I can't think how to pronounce that in English. Well, anyway, whatever. 98%. Turkey, 99.8. Turkmenistan, 89%. United Arab Emirates, 96%. Amen. Praise God. There's no sense in even starting on the Catholics. Amen. I mean, and I just grabbed little countries out of the midst of the whole two pages full of them, brothers and sisters. Amen. No sense in starting on trying to name all the percentages of people. Countries where we're talking anywhere 85 to 99% Roman Catholic. Brother, we've got a long, long way to go. Amen. Well, besides all the statistics, I mean, there's other problems, amen, that face us. Materialism. Brother, I
need to start reading my notes right here, brother, real close. I won't say nothing, get nobody mad at me.
But materialism, amen. We were to take an assessment of the current. A lot of you, how many of you are underneath 30 years old? Raise your hand here tonight. I want you to know, I promise you with all my heart, I love you. Brother Chris, I'm a bad dude, ain't I? Amen. Hard to get along with, hard to understand, I'm sure of that. But I hope you know I love young people. Amen. Me and him, we got into it, a bunch of stuff down there. I mean, this bedhead and all that dumb stuff. That's stupid. Amen. But anyway, whatever. I really love folks, even though I have a hard time with some stuff. But anyway, brother and sister, materialism is killing us as a movement. Amen. I mean, there ain't no sense in talking about the Baptists, okay? I love them, but bless their hearts, most of them ain't here tonight. I'm talking to us here tonight. Materialism is killing us as a movement. Amen. Now, somebody said it. I read this just the other day. Amen. But somebody said it this way, and I believe it applies very well to the holiness movement. And they said it this way. They were talking about something else, but they said, we're managing to keep our heads, but we're losing our hearts. Amen. I was trying to tell somebody last night, amen, I believe that's true of the wholeness movement. I know these guys have been preaching, and brother, you know, different ones, Brother Cantor, and them been calling us back to wholeness, and we need it, and I know we are straying far from it, but what I'm saying is, a lot of us, we've kept our standards, and you know, we know what we believe, and we know what we think, and we know, you know, how it is, and how it ought to be, and all that, and that's great, praise God. But in the process of keeping our heads, we've lost our hearts, I believe, amen. We've lost our desire, we've lost our compassion, amen, for what this world really needs. You take an assessment of the modern, of the youth of our day, and brother and sister, like I said, I love everybody, but I'm sorry, but a lot of us moms and dads, you know, and a lot of pastors even, you know, we have cautioned our young people not to be young people, you know, not to be, you know, headstrong, and not to jump the gun, and not to get involved in things without really taking time to pray it through and all that. And brother, we've nearly stifled the creativity and the desire and the gumption, you know, and the function that young people, that God put in young people for the very purpose of, he wanted them to get started before they got all wrapped up in something and they never could get loose of it. And brother, we've nearly stifled that in a lot of our young people. Amen. Brother, I ain't against it. Amen. I believe I ought to move back in the boys' dorm just to get a hold of that air conditioner. Amen. But brother, you don't have to have an air conditioner. I ain't picking on an air conditioner, but you ain't got to have it. Amen. I mean, you go to most countries in the world, they ain't got carpet. I mean, putting carpet in your house would be the most stupid thing. Amen. Just make it hotter, and you talk about sweeping and vacuuming and cleaning, you'd never get through with it, in, you know, in most dirty places. And so, you know, I mean, carpet and air conditioning, you ain't got to have that stuff. Amen. And I'm not against it at all. But, brother, I'm talking about things a whole lot deeper than carpet and air conditioning. I'm trying to tell you, amen, young people, that some of us have got, or some of you, amen, I shoot at you. I just know you don't consider me to be young people anymore. Amen. But a lot of us, we've got this idea, you know, we have to grow up. And I remember telling my pastor last night, one that pastored me when I was from the time I was 3 years old. Amen. I remember telling him last night, I remember crying in my bed at night when I was a kid, telling the Lord it wasn't fair, because I knew he was coming before I grew up, you know, and got married and had a family and all that stuff, and that just wasn't fair. Well, amen, you know, so I went through it too. But brother and sister, a lot of our young people, amen, you know, we just feel like that we have to grow up and we have to get married and we have to have a family and we have to have a really good education so we can get a really good job and so we can have a really good life. Amen. And brother and sister, I want you to know, I pray God blesses you if that happens to be his will. But brother and sister, I'm afraid that we are stifling. Amen. Materialism is killing us, and we're not jumping out and doing what God has called us to do. Amen. Shoots me. I love pastors.
you know, Brother Taylor preaches a sermon about the feller that went down to Jericho and got beat up, you know, and a good Samaritan come and saved him. Brother Taylor preaches this sermon called, you know, Since I Fell Among Thieves. Amen. Well, since I've walked in the moccasins a few miles of a pasture, and I feel for you guys. Amen. So before I say what I'm about to say, don't get mad at me. But brother and sister, amen, it's not always God's will for all your young people to come home, marry, and slip right back into the home church and teach Sunday school and live happily ever after. Amen. Brother and sister, I know some good holiness folks that have an over my dead body attitude when it comes, amen, to talking to their young people and inviting them. Amen. Why don't you pray and ask the Lord if maybe you ought to be a missionary? Amen. I know folks, brother, I don't know about it if they do. They hardly even pray about moving their whole family all the way across state or even across the country seeking a better benefits package and a higher paycheck. But for you to walk in, it is anathema to say, hey, would you let your kid come down there to Venezuela and just try out mission field? You can get some real fire-breathing dragons, amen, right about then. Amen. Amen. We're way behind the Muslims. We're way behind the Jehovah's Witnesses, and God forbid, we are really behind the Mormons on instilling in our young people a sense of responsibility and duty to propagate our faith and to go to the ends of the earth. Amen. I'm telling you what, you down there in Crockett's, you run across them Mormons I frequently run. You can spot them, they're as white as they can be, blonde headed, nearly every one of them. They just shine down there, and thank the Lord I don't wear a name tag. They think I'm a Mormon because I get accused of that all the time because of a white shirt, and dark pants or something, But, brother and sister, those Mormons, from the time they are little bitty kids, they are saving birthday money, they are saving Christmas, they probably don't celebrate Christmas, I don't know, but any kind of money like that they get, amen, for gifts, those little kids from childhood are taught to save that, put that back, so that they can use it for their two-year missionary experience when they grow up and get to be older teenagers, amen. Well, I'm not saying we got to do it just like they do it, but brother, Jesus in Luke chapter 16 said the children of this world are wiser than the children of light sometimes, amen. And just before I get in trouble, let me just tell you, amen, I ain't saying them are good folks, I'm just telling you, they are instilling in their young people a sense of duty and responsibility for going and doing something for whatever their gospel happens to be. Amen. Complacency, brother and sister, is killing us as a movement. Amen. We just, we feel like, it's not that big a deal, but trying to close here. Amen. Got a long, long way to go. Sister Jennifer, Lord willing, coming down there pretty soon. Work with us and help us. Amen. Be a blessing to us. We got a place for her. Amen. We, Brother Taylor, Brother Miles, myself, we've been working together now for a little over a year. Global Missionary Task Force, trying to put something together that can be beneficial and opening doors and providing some kind of a base and a foundation for young people, holiness young people that want to be involved in the mission field but are just overwhelmed by the complexity of where do you go and how do you get started and how do you, all this stuff, what do you got to have and what do you got to do. So for over a year now, we've had a second apartment rented down there in Caracas, and these kids have come down this summer, and different ones, they've been living over there, and we're trying, that's one of the things, trying to have a place so that, people can come in and out and it just really helps them in things. Well, brother and sister, I want you to know, amen, excuse me, Sister Jennifer's coming down there. She's going to be a man in that apartment for herself and for whatever groups come down. Brother, most of that stuff in there, that girl, she needs to sit down in every chair. She needs to lay on every bed in that place, and she needs every pot she stirs, and when she cooks, she needs to cry. Because you know where most of that stuff came from? Amen. It come from heartbroken missionaries that were selling out and going back home. Amen. You know what? Brother and sister, another thing that's killing us as a movement and talking about missions, amen, and that is something that Jesus said ought to be the very recognizing factor among us, and that is love one for another. Amen. Brother and sister, we not only have to learn how to get by, amen, to be missionaries, you're going to have to learn how to get along with everybody else. Amen. Brother, I believe in holiness with all of my heart. Amen. But I am smart enough to know everybody don't have to do things exactly like I do them to make it to heaven. Are you with me tonight? Amen. Brother and sister, that we need to get back. I mean, I'm heartbroken with divisions. And that. Just a few months ago, brother, I ain't going to name no names, no churches, nothing. But I remember standing there outside in the dark under the stars there in Caracas talking to a missionary as he boo-hooed and told me his sad story, amen, of leaders and heads above him that were fighting tooth and nail with him, you know, to change the whole ministry, to jerk the rug out from under him and all this kinds of stuff. Brother and sister, I want you to know we need as holiness people to be able to get along, amen, and let God do what he wants to do, how he wants to do it with each and every single one, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, amen. Too many things. You read there in Revelations about the Ephesian church. I mean, they didn't do, as far as I read it, they didn't do one wicked thing. I mean, that God, Jesus, amen, he bragged on them for their purity of doctrine. He bragged on them for not listening to false prophets. He bragged on them for just being good holiness folks, amen. But he had one thing against them. And you know what it was? They had left their first love, amen. Brother and sister, if we're going to reach the world for Jesus, amen, these are just some of the barriers that stand in our way. Amen. I mean, too many things. I've got to quit here. But brother and sister, I printed this thing out here. This is the second time I've done it. Amen. I left it in Crocus and forgot about it. So I had to do it today. Amen. Amen. Starting right here. Amen. I ain't even going to read it. 27 nations listed here. There's 8,000 and something languages spoken in the world today. Amen. 260-something of those languages have at least 2 million speakers or more. 2 million people that speak that language. So, brother and sister, that's several thousands of languages that are smaller people groups than even 2 million. Amen. Here are 27 nations, amen, listed right here on this paper. Four columns, brother and sister. I mean, go down, start up. Four columns, next page. Four columns, next page, four columns. You can see how long it is. Amen. And this is not printed in small print at either. Amen. But brother and sister, these, forget the 2 million people, forget the thousands and thousands or hundreds of thousands, just right there, hundreds of languages where there are 10,000 or less people, amen, that speak that language. Amen. I mean, I don't even want to get started here. I mean, some of these places, Chad over there, my. I mean, some of these places, these guys, the Busuo language, there's only 50 people that speak that. But I'm not just trying to find insignificant statistics. These are just 10,000 or less people groups, language groups, that don't have one single word of the Bible translated into their language. And they don't have one single missionary. Amen. And those are just the few, amen, that are smaller than 10,000. Brother, we have a long, long way to go, amen, to reach this world. How are we going to do it? Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth, amen. Brother and sister, I am with you always. What is that? That's revival, amen. I mean, when you live in a constant atmosphere of knowing that Jesus is... There he was. Here he is. Praise God. There he is. When you live in a constant state of knowing that Jesus is with you always, that it talks about Holy Ghost revival in your heart. Amen. This holiness convocation, brother, is to encourage us to seek revival. Amen. So we can be what we need to be, and so we can, tonight, may I say, so we can do what we need to do in this world. Amen. Amen. Let me just read this little poem here. Laborers, missionaries, preachers, evangelists, witnessers. God give us missionaries. Time like this demands great missionaries. Missionaries whom the lust of easier jobs cannot kill. Missionaries whom the spoils of life cannot buy. Missionaries who possess opinions and will. Missionaries who will not rest easy. Missionaries who, without blinking, can stand and resist well intentioned loved ones who would hinder the call. Big missionaries, God-called missionaries, who live above the fog amidst their public successes and even in their own private perceptions of futility and failure. Amen. Brother and sister, We've got a long, long way to go. Amen. But we can get there by having revival in our souls. That old song, go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountains that Jesus Christ is King. Amen. Would you stand this evening? How many of you tonight would agree to leave here with a determination in your heart that you're going to go tell it on every mountain? Amen. From those beautiful Blue Ridge in Virginia to the Sierra Nevadas out west. Amen. From the frozen tundras in the Arctic there, Brother, where are you at, Brother Martin? Amen. In Canada and Alaska and over in Siberia, all the way down to Tierra del Fuego in Argentina at the bottom. Amen. I mean, from Nepal, you know, tallest mountain in the world, to those Muslim tribes over there in the Middle East, brother and sister, right down home. Amen. In Tulsa, amen. Right there in Dallas, right there in St. Louis, or wherever you happen to come from, brother and sister, we can do it. If we have revival in our hearts and of Jesus, amen. Before you send $100, missionaries in Mexico, Venezuela, if we send $100 to a missionary in Guatemala, Honduras, whatever, I think you ought to spend $50 reaching those Mexicans and Guatemaltecos and Hondurans and all the rest of us that work at your chicken factory to pick fruit that float through at harvest time in your community. Amen. If you think Africa deserves missionaries, I think you ought to go across the street and across town to the black folks. Amen. That are right there. I mean, brother and sister, please, I don't want to get nobody mad here tonight, but, how would we react if drug addicts and prostitutes and purple-haired teenagers and all that kind of stuff, if they walked into our meetings? Amen. Would we push them out? Would we push them under our footstool? Didn't James warn us about that? And before you tell me, Brother Akers, you're mixing metaphors here. He was talking about rich and poor, you know. Brother, isn't it something how we so quickly align ourselves with the financially poor, but when it comes to spirituality, we put ourselves real quick up in the, upper untouchable class. Brother and sister, we got a long, long way to go. Amen. But we can get there because Jesus is willing tonight to revive our souls. Amen. Go tell it everywhere. Amen. This, even real quick, I want every person here tonight, every single person that feels like you feel you're assured in your heart that God has called you to be involved in missions, I want you to come quickly here to this altar. Quickly. Don't wait. Don't hesitate at all. Amen. If you don't feel it, don't come. Hey, there is no shame. There is no embarrassment. No pressure. Amen. Now, before you kids think we're going to pray for you, you just wait. Now I want to know, while these people are coming to the front part, I want to know how many of you here tonight that you don't know for sure, but you really know that you want to be willing. I want you to come and stand right behind them here tonight. And I don't want to make that sound too strict here, so that, everybody's afraid not to come. But I mean, if you really feel like that God does have something for you, but you don't know, but maybe it would be involved in missions somewhere around the world, I want you to come. Amen. Right behind these. Now, all you folks that's saved and really sanctified and on fire for the Lord, filled with the Holy Ghost, these are the people that are going to have to do what's got to get done. I want the rest of us to come. Let's stand behind them. And let's pray. And let's not stop praying until we've touched heaven. Amen. And these people have what they need. Let's all pray and ask God for revival so that we can do what's got to get done. Amen.